For the last few years, writer and editor Ruth Reichel has been telling the story of her life through various encounters with food. Reichel was restaurant critic for the New York Times when her first food autobiography, the best-selling Tender at the Bone, was published. Now editor of Gourmet Magazine, she's published another course of her life story. This one's called Comfort Me with Apples. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg reports.
In the 1970s, Ruth Reichel was a freelance magazine writer in Berkeley, living and cooking in a commune. The California food revolution was underway, and Reichel decided she wanted to be a food critic. Her commune mates were aghast.
The first response I got was, "Let me get this straight. You're going to tell a bunch of spoiled rich people how to eat too much obscene food?" And the next response I got was, "You're giving up good, honest work to be a parasite."
Oh, that must have stung.
It did. But my response to that was, "Wait a minute, I'm going to write about a life of leisure. I'm not going to live it."
Yeah, but you did pretty well along the way.
That's true.
Launching into this career, you began discovering really simple things that we take for granted almost, like garlic. So tell us the ways in which you learned that garlic helps humanity.
We went up to visit a pretty well-known French chef who had left his restaurant in San Francisco to go up into the mountains and build this shrine to garlic. Everything he did at the restaurant had tons of garlic. He didn't make onion soup. He made garlic soup. And he was nuts for aioli. He was from Provence.
We should tell our listeners that aioli is a very garlicky French mayonnaise.
He believed that the aioli massage was the way to better mental health, better physical health. And he enveloped us in this haze of garlic euphoria. You eat a lot of garlic and you really do get high. It's a natural drug. It's wonderful. So here we are. We've eaten garlic for 6 hours and it's late at night. And he says, "Okay, time for the garlic massage. Take off your clothes." And I, at the very last moment, go, "Wait a minute, I'm a reporter. I don't do this."
Now, is this why you write, "If everyone ate more garlic, the world would be a happier place"?
Absolutely.
I wanted to hear your stories about M.F.K. Fisher, who was surely one of the great writers about food. What is it about her writing that attracted you so much to her?
When I was growing up, she was the one person who shared my kind of interest in food, the one writer I could go to who wasn't talking about recipes, and she wasn't sort of going on about the way food tasted. She was talking about the context of food. You know, for her, food was a metaphor for life. She could write about leaving a tangerine on a radiator so that the outside got hard and what it tasted like. And you knew that she was really writing about more than that, that she appreciated the tangerine, but that she was really talking about being young and in love and what it was like to be in France in the 20s. It was how I felt about food. But she went through a funny time when people didn't know her. In the 60s, she sort of dropped out of sight. So when Ms. Magazine called and asked me if I would go to Sonoma, where she was living, and interview her, the editor actually said, "Do you know who M.F.K. Fisher is?" And I sort of pulled myself up and said, "Do I know who M.F.K.? There was not a word that she had ever written that I hadn't read.
Yeah.
And I was so thrilled to have this opportunity to go interview her.
Yeah.
And we really started talking, and I was able to ask her the kind of questions that I have trouble asking as a reporter. You know, those things that you know are really not your business.
Like, how much money do you make?
That kind of thing.
Right.
How much money do you make? What happened when you split up with your first husband?
Mm-hmm. So you write your story, you hand it in to Ms., and they send you back to talk to her again. And why do they do that?
Because the only thing they're really interested in is her life as a single working mother. They wanted, you know, the feminist angle on M.F.K. Fisher.
But it was the 70s. It was the 70s, and feminism was as strong as garlic.
Exactly.
What about food writing, Ruth Reichel? What is the secret of it, do you think? Let me quote you. The hot pink soup was dotted with lacy green leaves of cilantro, like little bursts of breeze behind the heat. You tasted citrus as if lemons had once gone gliding through and left their ghosts behind.
It's just a matter of really tasting with all of your being, imagining it in the most sensual way that you can. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff comes real easy to me.
Does it? You don't have to sit there struggling, how do I talk about citrus again?
No, actually, for me, it's the opposite. I mean, I really like writing that's very simple, and I find myself doing that and then going through and taking most of it out.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope you park it somewhere, because it's too good to have erased. You're even good about liver. May I quote this, please, to our listeners, Ruth Reichel on liver. The liver was like little pillows of velvet between satin slivers of onion. And then you write about lemon souffle that collapses onto itself with a fragrant sigh. Now, I can see lemon souffle doing that, but to think of liver in terms of velvet pillows, wow.
Well, that's just because you've never had really great
liver.
This was Danny Kaye's liver, and it is amazing done right. So, you know, writing about something that you really love that gives you enormous pleasure, you want it to give other people that kind of pleasure. And you think, you know, if I put this right, then I'll get everybody who hates liver to taste it because they want to taste it the way I did.
Ruth Reichel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ruth Reichel's new memoir is called Comfort Me with Apples. The title comes from the Song of Solomon. She is editor-in-chief of Gourmet Magazine. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.